Get ready, friends. And by friends, I mean patrons.
Dig.
It's time for another Dave and Darren patron show. A show we do sans commercials and exclusively for you patrons who have supported us for more than 7 years now. I mean, I guess we haven't had the patron program up for 7 years, but I think it's pretty clear that if you're somebody who is supporting this by being a patron, you're probably someone who's been there for beyond 7 years.
And maybe. Beyond.
And beyond. Welcome to, this is the, I guess, the Thursday patron, or not Thursday.
No, this is the November.
I was going to say Thanksgiving. It's the November.
Dave.
November patron show that we really should have done last week, but, you know, turkeys and everything happened. And,
yeah, things get...
Yeah.
Things get complicated.
Yeah.
Things go wrong.
That's true. I've heard somebody say that. Things do, Darren, go wrong.
Things go wrong! Things go wrong!
And welcome back. It is Dave and Darren and the November patron show. Darren, I wanted to begin this episode with a news from Hawaii.
Now, which part of Hawaii?
Well, there are parts of the state of Hawaii that this weekend are under a blizzard warning as 12 inches of snow and winds up to 100 miles per hour is expected.
I can't believe I'm not on vacation in Hawaii.
This is on the Big Island of Hawaii. Isn't that like where everybody lives?
I don't think so. The Big Island is...
What is the Big Island?
The Big Island is Hawaii, right?
Oahu is where everybody lives. Is that how that works?
Oahu is the big tourism. Oahu and Maui.
So if you were vacationing on the Big Island, and you're there,
it might not be exactly what you signed up for. Like,
do people live on the Big Island?
I'm sure they do.
Is it? I mean, I'm guessing it's the Big Island, but that's. You've been to Hawaii. I don't know, other than the fact that they have rocky shores and sandy beaches, I don't know a lot about Hawaii. The Big Island, which is officially named Hawaii, is the largest island.
Yeah.
There's rainforests and volcanoes. It says here there are 186,000 people that live on the island.
I expected more shopping. 186,000.
Yeah, 186,000 people live there on the Big Island. Let me see. I'm looking at a map here. I don't recognize any of these towns, but honestly, it all sounds like gibberish to me. Wanna Poopoo and Come and Lay Me and Sucky Sucky. I don't know what the names of these towns are.
Easy now.
I don't know what any of this is, but yeah, if you are on your way to Hawaii, to the Big Island, and if you imagine you saved your whole life for a trip and you're there when they get 12 inches of snow and winds 100 miles an hour.
But of course, you know what can thaw this snow quickly? Uh-huh. A volcano eruption.
That'll take the edge off
right away.
Warning is in effect for the entire weekend. Well, up until 6 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, 12 inches or more of snow is expected on the island.
Huh.
National Weather Service also warning the residents to stay indoors, as forecasters are predicting winds gusting over 100 miles per hour. This
what
is not
is
a typhoon.
On?
This is not a hurricane. This is just a blizzard.
100 miles an hour.
Yeah. Travel will be difficult to impossible. Blowing snow will significantly reduce visibility with periods of zero visibility, according to the National Weather Service warning. Aside from the blizzard warning, a Kona low is expected near the island starting tomorrow night. Kona storms are a type of seasonal cyclone in the Hawaiian Islands, usually formed in the winter from winds coming from westerly Kona direction, you see.
100 miles an hour, over 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Doesn't it sound like that could actually, like, grab a volcano and and peel it off and take it to the sea?
Well, we had winds that were fairly elevated here when we had our derecho,
yeah,
and it caused billions and billions of dollars of damage, the most damage that any natural disaster has ever done.
And just think if we had a volcano. And
think if we lived in a grass hut and you got 100 miles an hour.
I don't know if everyone's living in a grass hut. Just don't know if you have a grasp.
Do I not understand
what's going on there?
Aren't they all wearing grass skirts and living in grass huts?
I don't know if that's
with coconut bras.
I don't know if that's necessarily the case.
Well, I'm
grass huts.
I'm willing to learn. If you're saying
I'm willing to be wrong.
thank God. If you're telling me that they have like if they've
houses?
If they've discovered brick technology, that's probably a good idea. Is that something that they have? If you're listening in Hawaii, our thoughts are with you. My God, please.
Do you think that they drive around in cars made out of bamboo?
I mean, yes. I'd say that's exactly what I think. But like, I imagine if you're listening to this podcast in, on the Big Island, you're listening in a seashell rather than a smart device.
Right.
I don't know how that works. What am I? Shepherd's pie. Is that something you would eat?
Absolutely. It's essentially, well, you would eat it too.
Yeah, I think I could be down with this.
It's essentially stew with mashed potatoes on top of it.
Oh, wow. That sounds great. This guy is going to jail for a shepherd's pie that he made. Apparently, he was in a hurry when he made it.
Yeah.
Served a shepherd's pie to a church congregation. This is over in the UK, where shepherd's pie is obviously much more prevalent than it is here, right? That's like one of their
it's a main dish
big
over there.
Dishes.
Yeah.
This guy was a chef.
Okay, so he should know what he's doing.
Yes, a former head chef at a UK country pub.
A head chef.
Mm-hmm.
And a pub, so you're going to find the shepherd pie in a pub.
Yeah, John Croucher served up a shepherd's pie that ended up giving 32 people food poisoning, including one woman who died.
Good Lord.
And now he's going to prison for 4 months, and he'll be suspended for a year after conceding that he circumvented food safety protocols to save some time.
Well, that doesn't help with a reputation, does it?
No.
If that's what your main gig is, if that's what your occupation is.
Yeah, I don't know that a year's
it's one thing.
A year's suspension is really the end of it.
It's one thing for, like, say, us to spend 4 months in jail because we made a bad dish.
Right. If you or I were to
tell an off-color joke and go to jail, that might be the end of this.
He says, quote, "I hate to say it. I really hate to say it, but I think I was rushed." That's what they say about the harvest meal that he prepared at this pub for a church congregation.
So what did he do that was so egregious that killed people?
Well, in court yesterday, the judge outlined exactly how Chef Croucher rushed through the pie's preparation. The mince was not cooked properly and was placed into a pan with iced water. Croucher needed to leave, so he put the mince in cling film and put it in the fridge overnight. He came back to cook it and mixed it with the mashed potatoes, but didn't bother checking its temperature before he served it. 31 parishioners became unpleasantly ill after eating the shepherd's pie. A 92-year-old woman became violently ill and died. 3 vegetarian congregants who declined to partake were absolutely fine. Everybody's getting sick except the vegetarians. Wait a minute. You think it's the shepherd's pie?
Well, and there was the complaint that the portions were so small. And that complaint came from the 92-year-old.
This guy represented himself in court in the case.
It's always a grand idea.
And he told the court that he'd been cooking professionally for 20 years. And he also noted that despite the, quote, horrible, horrible circumstance, he wanted the court to know that he's learned a lot from this incident. Remorse is an understatement. Quote, "This is something I will never forget. Because of it, I am a better chef. And it's just a shame the cost of it had to be what it was." Listen, that lady's dead, but everybody, this is really improving my game, I think you'll find in the kitchen.
And along with the improvement of my cooking, there will be a price increase. Having said that, the shepherd's pie is off the menu for this weekend.
For the foreseeable future, I will not be serving up the shepherd's pie. I bet if this guy does get a job after his suspension, people are going to want him to make shepherd's pie, right? It's like when somebody dies on a roller coaster at an amusement park. The next day, the lines for that roller coaster are 3 times longer than they would be.
People are savages.
Or they're just there's a rush. Let's see if that shepherd's pie is going to kill me. Imagine eating something, and there's a chance. This has killed before.
Does it say why he was rushed?
Now, that he doesn't say. And it doesn't say here in the story. He had to pay a $12,000 fine after he admitted that he had contravened the food regulations. He's also now being ordered to pay more than $1,300 in court costs. And the company he works for got a penalty of $4,000 as well. That seems like pretty light fines when there's a dead woman. But again, she was 92 years old.
So sometimes they prorate that.
Is that how that works? If you're 92 years old and you give a woman
diarrhea.
Yeah, to the point that she expires, you know, 4 months in jail and a couple grand in fines, and then it's all good, I guess.
Truth be told, I've heard worse.
There's a show, I'm going to guess this is on TLC, because that's where all the freak show shows are. A show called 1,000-Pound Sisters.
Okay.
And...
Tammy. I'm looking at the headline now.
Tammy just left food rehab and gained 15 pounds.
And?
She says, I'm not happy about it.
Don't imagine you are.
After her first weigh-in after leaving rehab, Tammy, her doctor, and her brother-in-law are all disappointed to see that she's somehow gaining weight. This was her first weigh-in after leaving a food addiction rehab center.
I mean, typically they try to get you to lose weight in one of these rehabs.
Yeah. Now, yes.
Where is this food rehab located? Gainesville?
The irony. Here she is.
Dr. Eric Smith. Let's see.
He's a doctor of bariatric surgery. So, like,
if he can explain himself.
We are not doing this woman a good service here, apparently.
Not doing what she needs to do.
Hang on. I want to get to the very beginning of this because this is gold.
See what you weigh, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Oh, boy.
We're going to get her up on the scale.
Tammy's not doing what she needs to do.
That's her brother-in-law.
She's in a relationship with a dude that's beefy. Not got Tammy's best interest.
And I'm just going to pause this here.
Beefy.
The show is called 1,000-Pound Sister.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm embarrassed to admit this. I assume both girls weighed 1,000 pounds.
You mean collectively?
I meant each.
Oh, each.
I assumed like...
Oh, so it is collective.
The show's called 1,000-Pound Sisters. I thought that meant that both sisters weighed 1,000 pounds. But that's not... No.
Let the battle royal begin.
She's only 600-some pounds. And then her husband, her other sister is 400 pounds, you see. And I guess the tone of the show is that the 400-pound is always trying to get the 600-pounder to lose some weight. The brother-in-law who's attending the weigh-in, his name is Chris, he's four spins at least, and he's pretty judgy on the 600-pound gal, saying she's not doing what she needs to do. So as Tammy is about to get weighed here, Chris is the voice you're going to hear, the disappointing voice, her brother-in-law, who, again, is not exactly twiggy.
All right.
Let's step up here on the scale.
Last time I weighed with Chris, I was 624. I'm hoping I've lost even more, and I'm closer to my 550 goal.
550 is the goal?
The goal is 550. So last time she was 624. Let's see, after food rehab, where she's at.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, looks like 639.
Oh!
I gained weight back. I'm happy about it. I hate it.
Did she say I hate it?
Off.
Did she say I hate it? I hate it.
Tammy gained about 15 pounds than what it was at Tammy's 3 weeks ago, so it sucks.
And there are three cats missing in the neighborhood. I hate that cat. I ate that cat. You need to eat those kittens. And she took his advice.
John Lennon told her.
A guy who's been dead for 40 years. She takes his advice from a documentary from 50 years ago and eats three neighborhood cats.
She put on 15 pounds, and that when you weigh 600 pounds, I guess you wouldn't notice, right? You wouldn't notice putting on 15 pounds if you weighed that much. But she's on the scale like, all right, give me the good news. How close am I to being a sexy 550?
Precious time away that she really ain't got.
I would say that.
So what do you think? Is that what you were expecting?
It looked like she had.
It's a little up.
A little up. What happened is what I was afraid of. Tammy left rehab too soon.
Can you go back to when she actually weighed?
Like 639.
It looks like it's hard to say that she has a scowl on her face when.
I can't tell.
Wait.
You can't tell what her expressions are because there's just so much face going on there. That's rough. That's rough to watch.
It is rough.
Yeah. Well, that's the TLC show, 1,000 Pound Sisters. Apparently,
I don't know exactly how much tender, loving care they're actually giving these people.
No, it sure feels exploitive, right?
Uh-huh. I mean, but that maybe that's not what it stands for.
No, I think originally TLC stood for the Learning Channel.
Ah.
But I don't know what we're learning other than
we're exploiting these people who clearly have a problem.
She's the only character on this show where they have to use subtitles so you can understand what she's saying. Mm. That's rough. Hey, Toys R Us is coming back. Kind of.
I thought a couple of the stores survived, no?
They're going to build a giant one in New Jersey. And it's going to open, I think, next week. This will be a new Toys R Us, a 20,000 square foot Toys R Us store at the American Dream Mall in New Jersey. This will open next week. It'll feature an ice cream parlor and a multi-level slide. And once this Toys R Us is open, Darren, mm-hmm. that will bring the number of Toys R Us locations in the United States to one.
Okay, with your son,
yeah.
Owen,
yeah.
turning 13.
Yeah, get ready for the angst, he tells us.
Get ready for the angst.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to, I'm not trying to make you feel sad or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Turning 13 in about a month's time, month and a half. Mm. Essentially, you could say his childhood is coming to an end.
Oh, it's been gone. Yeah. Yeah.
What ended up being his favorite toy as a child?
I don't know. That's a good question.
What was his favorite, you think, his favorite childhood toy?
I'll have to ask him. I mean...
I'd like to think it was the microphone.
Yeah, when Owen was...
The microphone and attached speaker.
When Owen was two, Darren thought it'd be hilarious for Christmas or his birthday to give him a PA system, which he would turn on and just grab the microphone and just scream into for hours at a time.
Make demands.
Yeah. Yeah. He would scream.
I don't think you guys
He would sing. He would do little stand-up sets.
No, let me get this straight.
Yeah.
It's mom and dad. Is that right? Okay. I have demands.
He's doing crowd work. Sir, what do you do for a living?
Exactly.
Okay.
And those were difficult questions back then at that time.
Now they
had some lean years.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I'm looking for some stuff. Yeah, exactly. Toys R Us now will have one location in the United States. There was going to be, they still have like an online presence, and they opened one in Texas and they opened one in New Jersey, but those were struggling even before the pandemic, and both of those locations closed earlier this year. So there were two Toys R Us's, but now there's none. But next week there'll be one. There are 900 Toys R Us stores overseas.
How many?
900.
Okay, so still very successful there.
All over the world, yes, but not here.
Wonder
in the
why.
States. Well,
is it just because...
I'm guessing Amazon,
all
right?
All of our shopping is just done online?
I'm guessing. The idea of opening up a Toys R Us, by the way, like on December 15th, that seems kind of late in the game for the Christmas season, right? This is the American Dream Mall, which just opened in East Rutherford, New Jersey. It also has an indoor theme park and an indoor ski slope. So if you were dying to get to Toys R Us, New Jersey, head east, young man.
Let me ask you this, because I just saw a television promo.
Yeah.
What's the name of the show from the same people that brought you The Masked Singer, but now it's like they're avatars?
I think it's Alter Ego.
Alter Ego.
Does that sound right? Yeah.
Is Elon Musk's wife on that show?
Well, they're no longer together.
Oh, they're not.
Yeah.
So he's
you're asking about Grimes.
Yes.
I don't know. I haven't watched.
So he's a bachelor now?
Yeah.
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 Jesus.
He tweeted some nonsense yesterday, and it was like...
But they've got children, right?
They have a child whose name I can't say.
Okay, it's basically a barcode.
Yeah. Musk tweeted yesterday something like, the laws are on one side and the poets are on the other. And somebody tweeted back, everybody, this is him letting us know he's about to marry a 17-year-old girl. Yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Hey, get out of here.
That's right. Good to see you again, Aria.
Jeez Louise. Cat's got some opinions. They're saying now, Darren, that THC.
Yeah.
That would be the thing in marijuana that makes it so terrific.
Yeah, the active ingredient.
Yeah, yeah. They're saying now that THC in your blood and your saliva are poor measures of cannabis impairment.
Okay, so if you were to be pulled over and impaired because you were using marijuana.
Right.
And they were to test you.
Yeah. They're saying that this study that the biomarkers are inconsistent indicators. Now, like blood alcohol content.
Yeah.
We know from study, if your BAC is at this level, then we can expect this amount of impairment. That's why, you know, the law says you can't be above 0.08 in order to drive. And we can argue about whether or not that's a proper way to judge in terms of, you know, should it be 0.08? But 0.08 is what the law says, so that's what you need to be under in order to not get in trouble for, you know, drinking and driving.
Uh-huh. Anyone who drinks and drives is a real jackass.
But we know with BAC, for the most part, what you can expect with the level of impairment.
How many people are getting pulled over all the time at 0.075?
That would be pretty satisfying.
Like, yep.
That'd be pretty satisfying.
I know
my
limitations, but why are you getting pulled over? Well, I.
The findings in this study contrast with the stronger relationship between blood alcohol concentrations and driving impairment for alcohol as opposed to marijuana.
I gotcha.
Researchers at the University of Sydney's Lambert Initiative have analyzed all available studies on the relationship between driving performance and the concentrations in blood and saliva of THC, that's the intoxicating component of cannabis. And the results indicate...
psychoactive ingredients.
That it's one thing to test people for blood alcohol concentration, but as far as, you know, seeing if there's THC present in your blood or saliva, they're saying it just may not do any damn good.
Well, then how should they test?
Well, I don't know. No field tests is what I say.
Yeah, well...
I'll give you a little
time-honored tradition there.
Just tell you how I roll. The researchers finding that subjective intoxication, or how stoned individuals reported they felt, was only weakly associated with actual impairment. That means you should not rely on perception of your own impairment in deciding whether or not you're fit to drive. Probably not a good idea to get all gassed up and drive around anyway.
No.
But I think, I mean, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of stories in the news, even as marijuana has become legal in places. We were talking this morning on our morning show about how the state of Illinois did $1 billion of business this year, right?
Yes.
$1 billion of business.
They expected it to be $2 billion before long.
I mean, have there been any stories of anybody... getting run over because somebody was high? Has that happened? I don't feel like I've heard that. Plenty of drunk driving stories to that effect, but I don't know that I've heard that. So do they come up with a better way to judge, you know, if you're impaired? Maybe. Or maybe if you get pulled over, tell your lawyer to look up this story from Sydney, Australia. They had to call the bomb squad the other day. This is over in the UK after a man got a World War II mortar stuck in his rectum.
Okay. Okay. This is... the war is over if you want it.
Rectum damn near killed him.
Give peace a chance.
Bomb squad called to the Royal Hospital after a man got a World War II mortar stuck up his bottom. The troops from the 11...
How is that not the story of the year?
It's pretty great. Bomb squad had to show up After the patient was admitted with a mortar shell, troops from 11 Explosive Ordnance Disposal Regiment rushed to the hospital in Gloucester.
What are we fighting for?
Bring the boys back home. Yeah, I have to do this, and I have to listen to Vera Lynn. Otherwise, I cannot climax. This is in Gloucester, the hospital. They had to basically kick everybody out, bring in the bomb squad.
Sure.
After they were notified by the police that a patient had presented with a munition in his rectum.
And presented is exactly the word.
The man described here as a military enthusiast. Said he found the shell while he was cleaning out and somehow tripped and fell.
Yeah, that's how it always works. Somehow I tripped and fell.
Onto the 57 millimeter piece of Army ordnance that landed him in the hospital. This is the same kind of mortar round that was used by the Royal Artillery in World War II as anti-tank rounds, though it would be later used by British tanks in North Africa.
Uh-huh. Tanks for nothing.
It says here these rounds measure at 57 millimeters in diameter and an eye-watering 170 millimeters in length.
Eye-watering?
Oh, it just makes my eyes water. Someone thinking about the length of that thing. Yeah, he said he put it on the floor and then he slipped and fell on it, and it went up his his ass. Here is what they're saying.
Yeah,
that's what a source is telling the Sun over there in England. Jolly old England. Yeah, something of a military enthusiast. I think it's safe to say
it's not my only hobby, but.
Maryland homeowner burnt down their house trying to fight snakes. There's a snake at the gate.
And
here's a photo, Darren, of what remains of the house.
Not much. All that's left is the snake.
And he's laughing like this. Montgomery County, Maryland. Homeowner burned their house down last week while trying to manage a snake infestation. Montgomery County Fire and Rescue spokesman Pete Perringer tweeting that the owner tried using smoke from coals to fight the serpents in a house. Wow. So not more than one snake.
I lost the home, but I'm going to keep the snake. I've named him Alger.
It's believed that the coals in the basement started the fire, which did more than $1 million in damage to the house. No human injuries. But they say as far as the snake status, that is, it says here, undetermined.
Unknown.
We don't know what happened to the snakes. My guess is once it got hot, they left. There's a brewery that we go to in Bellevue.
Okay.
And it's right on the river. It's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. It's called River Ridge. And they were explaining, because it is right on the river. Mm-hmm. It's this beautiful old stone building that was originally built as a place where they would repair tractors. Okay. Right? Like you would bring your tractor in on a barge and they would fix it and put it back on the barge and off it would go. But it's this old stone building that's right on the river. And they said that there's always snakes in the walls because of the stone nature of it. Huh. And so like when they will, in the wintertime, when they brew in the one space, it gets so hot in there, it wakes the snakes up who go basically to hibernate in this snake, you know, in the wintertime, the snakes go and hibernate in the walls.
Yeah.
And it gets so hot, they wake up and they're pissed.
Yeah.
Because you woke them up from what's supposed to be a long winter's nap.
Right.
And that's a hazard.
Do they have a beer that's named after the snakes?
You know, I don't think they do because they probably
don't want to draw attention.
Don't want to draw attention to the fact that there's snakes in the walls, right? Like, it's a cool story, but yeah, probably.
We don't tell everyone that story.
Yeah, right.
As a matter of fact, I'm not sure why we were telling the television guy.
I'd like to have that one back. Will you edit that one out, please? There's a TikTok trend inviting kids to go and kick on doors, which is not the best idea because it looks like you're invading a home when you do this. Go and kick on a door, kids. And, you know, if somebody thinks that their home is being invaded, that could end very badly in a hurry.
Sure could.
Police alerting schools, parents, and community members of this dangerous challenge seen on TikTok, which encourages others to kick in the doors of homes. Young people knock on doors to a beat of a song that's called Die Young by Kesha, and then they run off.
No.
Some of these kids are using enough force where the doors get kicked open entirely.
Well, yeah, and damaging the door.
Right. The danger is highlighted here, or heightened rather, when people unfamiliar with it, they're doing a TikTok trend, interpret the prank as a real life or death situation.
Well, why wouldn't they?
Right. You don't know what door you're about to kick. And there could be somebody that's just waiting on the other side for somebody to kick in the door.
Yeah, I haven't heard any of these TikTok challenges that are good, a good idea.
It's almost too, like, they go out of their way to make them so stupid that no one would ever do it. It seems like the dumber the challenge,
the more popular it is,
the quicker we are to yeah. have these stories. Mm. Like, I want to do the Mr. Magoo furnace TikTok challenge where you stick your head in the furnace because you think you're talking to a fat woman, and then your face starts on fire.
Mm.
Do you think I could make that a TikTok thing?
Well, it's funnier.
Hello, madam. I was wondering, would you tell me the way to the infirmary? Roadhog.
It's funnier and more doable in cartoon form, but...
Yeah, yeah. Well, most things are, don't you find?
It's true.
I mean, cartoons tend to be very entertaining and hilarious.
And you can almost get away with anything.
There are stories now of a... robotic radio DJ.
Uh-huh.
The afternoon drive host at a radio station in California, KCSN, has been a DJ for over 32 years. And now, thanks to artificial intelligence technology, his voice will be in many places at the same time.
Great. That's what I wanted to hear.
Andy Chanley is the afternoon drive host there. He says, "I may be a robot, but I still love to rock." That's what the robot says. Andy... That stands for Artificial Neuro Disc Jockey. The robot uses Andy's real voice during a demonstration, and it's impossible to distinguish between a human DJ and this artificial intelligence. Andy, now being sold to radio companies, mm-hmm. and then Andy will introduce all of the songs and talk about them, and then... it'll be able to automate text that's created by humans. So,
and now doing afternoons on the planet.
Well, maybe. I don't know. Probably. See, the thing is, if it's just telling you what the song was and reading a liner card, then okay, there's not many of those jobs anyway, right?
Yeah.
I think we'll be okay.
Mm.
But I thought that before, and look what happened. These voice avatars now are doing more than DJ work. They're being used in corporate training material and reading audiobooks. So rather than, you know, paying someone to sit and read a book for 100 hours, you just have the computer do it. That's terrifying. This guy says that the human behind the voice is recovering from stage 2 lymphoma. So he was recording his voice while he was recovering from cancer. And he says, Elvis Presley fed his family for a long time after he was gone. Maybe this, you know, somehow what might send my kids to college someday.
Yeah.
You think they're going to keep paying you for your voice work once you've done it? The whole point of you doing this, dummy, is so they don't have to pay any of us.
I would say that I'm probably a little bit of a cross between, oh, let's say, R2-D2 and Elvis.
Finally, Darren, I have the story here of the Oddest Book Title of the Year Award.
All right.
This is something called the Diagram Prize. Bookseller Magazine does this every year where they take titles of books with weird names and they come up with the Oddest Book Title of the Year. Some of the ones for consideration, there was a book that came out this year called Curves for the Mathematically Curious. Another book called Hats, A Very Unnatural History.
How unnatural hats are? You don't see, it's true. You don't typically see hats in nature.
There was a book called The Life Cycle of Russian Things, from fish guts to Fabergé. But the book that won best, weirdest, oddest book title of the year is simply, Is Superman Circumcised?
Are you saying cut or uncut?
That's right. Cut or uncut. Is Superman Circumcised? Is a study of Superman's Jewish influences. And it has now been named the oddest book title of the year. I mean, Superman is basically, it was invented by two Jewish authors. It's essentially them reusing the Moses story, right? Where the baby is the put in a raft and sent away and saves everybody.
How's your Moses now?
Where's your Superman now? So is he circumcised? My guess is he's not, because he was a baby on Krypton. They wouldn't have circumcised babies on Krypton, would they?
Why not?
Well, because that's a planet Earth thing. And not for everyone on planet Earth, just for some of us. I think, are most people not, most men not circumcised or circumcised?
You mean all over the world?
Yeah.
I would say probably all over the world, probably.
Probably not,
probably
right?
Probably not.
Yeah, yeah. Have you seen at Iowa games, there's this guy that walks around with this giant, like, sign that says, fight against circumcision. And it's called, like, the website's called, like, Cockfight something or another.
No.
This guy's at every Iowa game with this massive sign.
I haven't seen
fighting against male circumcision. Yeah. So my guess would be that he wouldn't be, unless, did the Kents get him circumcised when he was, I guess they would have found him as a baby, but you tend to do circumcision, like, when they're around for a couple of days, right? Well, you wouldn't take a nine-month-old that gets circumcised. That would be weird. There's some baby we found on a rocket ship, cut off its foreskin for us. How would you even do that? I don't know. My guess is maybe I need to read this book. You think he...
Now you know what you're getting for Christmas.
Do you think he is circumcised?
That Superman? I have to admit, I really haven't thought about it. being that he's a cartoon character.
Well, I never thought about it either until I saw this book title, and now it's all I could think about. Like, of course he's not circumcised. That wouldn't have been in his, it's,
what
you know.
What about Batman?
Batman's absolutely circumcised. Well, I don't know. Batman's probably circumcised.
What about Robin?
Robin's absolutely circumcised.
Batman probably circumcised himself with one of the tools he has on his belt.
That's why he talks like that. He does it regularly. Keeps crowing back for some reason. Ooh.
You should have seen the original bat signal.
Maybe it wasn't a bat. Believe it. Last year's book title was A Dog Pissing at the Edge of a Path, Animal Metaphors in Eastern Indonesian Society.
Very specific.
And the year before, the book was called The Dirt Hole and Its Variations. But is Superman Circumcised the oddest book title of the year? Congratulations.
We have a winner.
There you go. That's it for the edition, the patron show for November 2021. Thank you so much, patrons, for your continued support. I hope you enjoyed this, and we'll have a Christmas spooktacular for you probably over Christmas break, right?
Yep, soon.
That's the plan. Until we get a chance to do it for you then, thank you again for your support, and hang loose, kooks.
And you also stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
Come on, Quad Cities. Representing. This is for the Quad Cities reppin' spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock out, come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
I just want to thank each and every one of y'all for all you've done to your bodies. It's still real to me, damn it.